understand that. But, Trish is looking at me. Yeah, right. Just not this 5 minutes, perhaps. How is it that a person that's saved? Now, this is pretty basic, and we all understand. How is a person that's saved, knows they're born again, knows their sins are forgiven, knows they're on their way to heaven, knows that God is in control of absolutely everything that happens to me, and yet here I feel like all hope is gone. I'm just depressed. I have nowhere to go, nothing to do. How can there be no hope? We're going to look at Psalm 77. Psalm 77. Richard, can you hear all right? Can you hear all right? You can hear me? Okay, good. Those of you that can't hear real well, the listening devices which work in the auditorium, they actually work in here also. So if you need one of those, let Mr. Cartwright know, let myself know, let somebody know. We'll be glad to get one for you. Psalm 77. It's a psalm of Asaph. It's Asaph wrote the psalm. Now, first thought, a lot of people have, well, I thought David wrote the psalms. Well, David wrote a lot of the psalms, but Asaph wrote a bunch of psalms too. Solomon wrote psalms, and several other people wrote psalms. 77. Now, there was a famous Christian psychologist that was interviewed on a national or a really well-known Christian radio station not all too long ago. And he was asked, the psychologist was, what would you say to about a person that telling a child, you should act this way because the Bible says that's the way you're supposed to act? And this psychologist, a well-known psychologist, said, and I was going to be beat over the head. I'd like it to be with the Word of God. And rather than something else. What's wrong with the statement, though? Now, there is no point in beating people over the head, even with the Word of God. People that are in your family, there's no point in just saying, the Word of God said, they know what the Word of God says. Give them the Word of God. Live the Word of God. But to hang it over their head, that's not what it's about. Hebrews 4:12 says, and a lot of you could quote this, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what the word of God is. That's what the word of God can do. It can actually divide. This is what you think, and this is how you're acting, and this is why you're acting this way. This is the result of what you just did. Dividing. Now you get down to, nobody wants to see my joints and marrow. Probably not. No, I don't think. Maybe somebody in here does. They're pretty gory. But down to the, get down, yeah, deep is for sure. It gets down to say, if you can divide the joints and you the marrow out of the bone, there's nothing left, is there? I mean, once, if you get, some people like to suck the marrow out of bones. I can't do that. Some people like to do, but when you're doing it, it's over. I mean, it's done. That's how thorough, piercing to dividing of the sunder of the soul and spirit, the way we think and the way we act. That's what the Word of God can do. The Word of God's plenty powerful to take care of any problem that there is. It doesn't need to be beat over our head. It doesn't need to be embellished. It doesn't need to be, let me give you my version. No, it doesn't need to give you my version of this. What does the Word say? That's what it meant. If it said, thou shalt die, what does that mean? Oh, you might die. No, that's not what it means. What does it mean if that's thou shalt surely die? It means thou shalt surely die. We don't explain that. If it says thou shalt do this and such, what does that mean? Thou shalt do such and such. Thou shalt not do. This is rocket science. This is not difficult. This is pretty basic stuff. Most psychologists and psychiatrists today have that philosophy that when it comes to depression, they fail completely to understand the power of Scripture. Now, wouldn't Satan just love to be able to say, Scripture has no power? Don't worry about that. There's no help for this. Scripture certainly can't help you. Maybe this guy can, but Scripture is not going to be able to help you. Sure, he has a lot to say, and a lot of that goes along with Scripture, but listen to him. Does that sound like something you might have heard someone say? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's become one of my favorite verses when I hear people on the news saying things which, say, duh. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Christians who struggle with depression should be very careful. Not that they feel all guilty. I'm all depressed. I should feel guilty. Well, are you still human or are you dead? Which one is it? You're still human. Humans are going to get depressed. If you're not going to be depressed or disgusted or discouraged, and we can go on to a list of however many things we want to, then you're not human anymore. You've either died or you've transcendental age or whatever it is, into something other than anything we know anything about, which really doesn't exist. We're going to look at Psalm 77, a psalm of Asaph. Asaph tells about, I was depressed. I wondered what in the world am I doing? Where in the world is God in all this? Now, Asaph, who was Asaph? He was David's song leader. He was Brother Jim. He was. That's who he was. He would lay the music. He composed music. He had people under him that led music. That was his job. Now, I imagine he had some really exciting times. And he had some really depressing times. He was one of David's key people. Music is a huge portion of David's life. David, what was the first thing we know about David? One of the first things, he loved music. He played music. He loved music. That's what brought him into the king's court, his music. That's what molded his life, his music. The Psalms, he wrote most of the Psalms to music, songs that we're going to sing. That was David. And this is David's right-hand music man. He was right there. He saw everything that happened. Saw the good times and he saw the bad times. He had opportunity to be discouraged and just depressed. He had things go wrong. Let's start in Psalm 77, verse 1. Carol, was that long enough lead for that one? Carol looks at me, but she should know better. Psalm 77, verse 1. To the chief musician, I don't know how to say that to that next person's name, a psalm of Asaph. I cried unto the Lord my God with my voice, even unto my God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord, my soul ran in the night, and I ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. I'm going to read a little bit more in a minute. What happens when you get depressed? All kinds of things happen in our bodies. All things are first thing which often happens. Ever have trouble sleeping because your mind is just going and going and going? You have something going on and just can't get to sleep. And not because you're not tired, you're tired. And not because you don't want to sleep, but there's something going on. I can't get past that. sometimes, particularly with younger children, they get really excited because we're going to Disney World tomorrow. I mean, that's when you get older and you're going to Disney World tomorrow. Oh, we're going to Disney World tomorrow. I better get some sleep so I have enough energy for that. There's not the excitement there anymore. Depression doesn't just affect us mentally. It changes us physically. Being tired will wipe you out. It will take you, put you in a position where you don't know even what you're doing. Part of the reason we're praying for people that are caretakers, like Nikki, if she gets tired, what quality of physical care will she have left? Or mental? None. It's over. You can tell when somebody's tired. Just look at them. You can tell that person's tired. They may have got a good night's sleep, but they're tired. They're emotionally tired, and as well as physically. Your lack of sleep does change our appearance, and it changes our countenance. It makes our emotions really on edge. If you're really tired, my wife knows if he's really tired, leave him alone. Just let him be, because I'm going to get yelled at probably if I don't. Nobody else is like that, just me. I know that, you know, that's just me, but that's who I am, and live with it, you know. It heightens our emotions. It impairs our judgment. We don't make good decisions when we're tired. Is it a good thing to go over your budget when you're, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, you can't sleep? Oh, I think I'll go over the budget, see if I can get everything balanced. You know, that's wise. I think I'll write all those letters to all those people that have been bothering me. That's real wise. Aside from difficulty sleeping, depression makes it hard to even describe what's going on. Look at verse 4. I think it's verse 4. Thou holdest mine eyes waking, stayed awake. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. You ever been speaking to someone and they're just not making any sense, and you realize, you know, we better continue this conversation another time? Because you're not making, the things you're saying I know are wrong, and you probably know they're wrong, and if I keep listening to you, I'm going to get a bad impression of you. Nothing's going to be accomplished if we keep talking about this. Depression will do that. I mean, being tired, being worn out, being at a point where you say, there is no hope for me, good. I'm gonna share my experience with you when there's no hope for me. That'll help you and it'll help me, won't it? Not at all. It'll just make a mess of things. Incorrect sight. Verses 5 and 6. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. Asaph looked back at his past life and remembered the joy of writing Psalms with David, singing the songs, being on the top of the world. David was on the top of the world. I mean, how much more top of the world can you get than where David was? King of all this, came up from nowhere to now he's king, has all these people around him that adore him. And Asaph looked back at that and remembered how he used to sing. I consider the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night, how he used to sing. Singing was his thing. He remembered when he was thrilled to do it, but now something's wrong. Exactly what time in history Asaph wrote the psalm, it really doesn't say, but I've got some clues. David probably was in the middle of some things he shouldn't have been, and Asaph was, okay, let's all stand up and sing. Let's sing about the mercies of God and the joys of the Lord. Yeah. Asaph was inward searching is one of the first things that Asaph chose to do. In verse 6, it continues, I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made a diligent search. Asaph looked within himself. He looked for answers. Now, you've heard the phrase, look, you know, follow your heart. Do what your heart says. It's common, everyday things we hear. But Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Go ahead and look there. See if you can find some encouragement there. Either Jeremiah was wrong or the psychologist is wrong. One of the two. And I'm going to lean kind of toward Jeremiah personally. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's where our faith is not in what's in our heart. Our heart is desperately wicked. The Lord Jesus paid for all that, and he is desperately good. If there is such a phrase, desperately good, it doesn't sound right, but it's you get the point. If we look to ourselves, one of two things is going to happen. One, you're going to convince yourself that you're doing fine, that you've survived this, you've overcome this issue here, and then comes pride, and pride goeth before a fall. Go ahead and try and stand up and look inside. I'll get this fixed. I can take care. Sure, you can take care of it for a minute. You can convince yourself that it's taken care of for a minute. You know, unless the Lord build the house, what happens? It's going to fall. Or the first thing we can convince ourselves that we've succeeded in this, we're successful, or we can go and find and actually see, this is hopeless. I've looked in there, there's nothing good to find in there, and that's probably going to be my lot for the rest of my life. Why is it that career criminals, if you will, go ahead and just continue on and on, and on. What other choice do I have? This is who I am. I have destroyed. I don't have a family anymore. They're gone. I don't have any reputation. That's gone. I don't have a job, and I can't get a job. That's gone. So what do? Just continue on what you've been doing. That's pretty encouraging, isn't it? It's the hopelessness of it. And you become more depressed. One other thing which happens when we become discouraged, in verse 8, Psalm 8, is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forever? That is pretty sorrowful. Is God's mercy gone? Is there no hope here? Is there no hope even in the Lord? To Asaph, the promises of God were out of reach. I can't take it anymore. So I just can't do this anymore. I'll just have to live like this. Excuse me. One of the last things that may happen to a person that's depressed is that everything is stressful. Nobody here is under stress at all. Everything's perfectly in order. You know exactly where you're going, where you came from. Everything's all taken care of. But a person that's depressed has this conflict of wanting to get over it and knowing they can't. Wanting this to be over, wanting to be back where they were and knowing they can't. In verse 2, Asaph said, in the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. That's pretty depressing, just that, isn't it? Just reading that he had this problem kind of depresses you. My soul refused to be comforted. How does a person get depressed? I mean, there's no reason to be depressed. I mean, we have everything that we could possibly ever want or need. God's going to provide that. We have the outcome we already know. What causes it? One of the first things, and I found in the book of Romans. One day we're going to have a class on just the book of Romans. But the first chapter of the book of Romans goes on and starts out in telling you progression of sin, where you ignore God, this is what happens. Ignore him some more, and this is what happens. Take it upon yourself, and this is what happens. And there's a downward trend all the way down to you really don't have any hope left at all. But it all starts out with when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Now, most everyone in here probably knows God. I mean, that's knows who he is. Most everyone here has been saved. Maybe there are a few that haven't. I'm not sure. God knows. If you're not sure that you're saved, today would be a good day to find that out. You don't know if you're going to make it till tomorrow. We have two that were close people close to members of the church that aren't here this week. We'll never be here again. Could that be me? Sure, it could be me. Easy. Not. Could be easy. Easily happen. Could happen to anybody. Once a person gets an incorrect view of God, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. You can do whatever you want. If there is no God, you can do anything you want. But when you have a correct view of God, everything matters. When you have a correct view of God, then you can look at any situation, however desperate, and know God arranged that. He put that in my life. I don't have to like it. I particularly don't like it. But God put it there. Anybody like going to the doctor and getting a shot? I mean, duh. Not particularly. It's not my favorite. How about a cortisone shot? Those are really, no, everybody shakes their head. No. But you go and get one, don't you? If yeah. I don't know if I'm going to ever get another one of those or not. Those are not fun. All kinds of things like that. But you go and don't particularly enjoy it. Don't particularly like it. But I know God put that there. I know God arranged all this. It's in his control. He actually told me in the Word of God that this particular situation that I've arranged for you is so that I will bring you closer to myself. Now, who here doesn't want to be any closer to God tomorrow than they are today? Anybody? I want to be farther away from God tomorrow than I am today. You wouldn't probably say that, would you? But you would raise your hand and say, I would like to be closer to God than I am now. Well, guess what he's doing? He's bringing you closer to him, bringing you closer to the image of his son. The cure for depression. In 9 verses, Asaph, I don't know if he complained or what. I don't hear a note of complaining here. Asaph was just saying, this is where I am. I am depressed. I'm discouraged. Things aren't the way I would like them to be. I've tried to get this straightened out, and no matter what I do or no matter how I think, I'm still not happy with the way I feel. I don't think things are ever going to be right. And the end of verse 9, there's a word, Selah. Now, there's some controversy what that word means. Most people say, just stop what you're doing and think about what we just said. Stop what you're doing. The location of it in the Psalms kind of leans toward that. There's no real interpretation of it, and some people say, I know for sure. Well, they don't know for sure. But Asaph, Selah, stop and think about it. And in verse 10, he starts out a whole chapter in his life. And he said, this is my infirmity. This is where I'm at. Things are a mess, I guess, and I'm going to fall apart tomorrow, and woe is me. This is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings, recalling God's blessings. Knowing God did this. Now, God did this before. God, now in this time, God delivered this person. God delivered that person. What's God done for you ever? Just start thinking about that. What has he done? This is my affirmative. I will remember the works of the Lord. Focus your mind on what he's done, who he is. If we don't know who God is, how can we rejoice in him? Our song, Rejoice in the Lord. How can you rejoice in the Lord if you don't know who he is? And where do you find out who he is and what he can do and what he has done and what he's promised you? That's all in the Word of God. It's all in the Word of God. If we look to the Word of God for this answer, for answers, that's where you'll find them. If a psychiatrist looks in the Word of God and says, the Word of God says, this is how what you should be thinking, and then says, this will heal you. This will take care of you. Unfortunately, most of the time, psychiatrists will say, here, take these, and you won't remember a thing tomorrow. You won't feel like that. You know, I have this answer for a lot of, I work on computers a lot, and when people are having trouble with their computer, I tell them, I have a hammer out in the car. And everyone relates to that. It's real easy. And that computer will never do it again. I mean, you'll lose your job, but, you know, that computer will never do it again. What's the difference between that and say, here, take these? Didn't solve the problem, did it? Not at all. And are you going to feel a whole lot better after you smashed the keyboard and you got fired? Probably not. Are you going to feel a lot better when that medication wears off the next day? You still have the same problem, don't you? Still the same issues, except they're festered more. You've had more time to concentrate on them. So it just gets worse and worse. No, go to the Word of God. Verse 14, thou art the God that doest wonders. Wow, thou art the God that doest wonders. Know of anything wonderful that God has done? I know of a few things God has done wonderful. Romans 12:2. Anybody know how to quote that? You probably quote that. Be not conformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we're having depression problems, we're having any of these kind of problems, where do we go? You go to the Word of God. Be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Isn't that what we're talking about? I'm thinking about this. I'm disgusted and I'm discouraged and I'm depressed. But I don't want to be there anymore. I want that changed. Where does change come from? It only comes from the Word of God. You can hide it because somebody convinced you that it's not that bad, that you're not the only one that's like, ever hear that? You're not the only one that that happened to. Well, yeah, that's true, but it did happen to me. And it still hurts and it still bothers me. And I'm still up in the air about it. And we can go on and be more frustrated. And we'll talk more about it. And we can raise voices more until what? Or we can go and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Who believes the Bible? There's three people. Good, good. Four. When the Bible says, my word will not return unto me void, what does that apply to you? So if you read a verse, what does that say? It doesn't matter what the verse is. If you read a verse, quote a verse, recite a verse, memorize a verse, sing a verse, is it of no, nothing's going to change, right? That's not, no. My word will what? Not return unto me void. people that are depressed, simple. Find the Word of God. And most of us have more than one copy of it. And if you don't, we can take care of that. Find the Word of God. And you know the Holy Spirit has this amazing ability to have you open the Word of God, find something that is for you, for today, for right now, and renew your mind with that. But you know what happens if you put this on your shelf, you know, put a couple other books on top of it, because, you know, that was Sunday, but now it's Thursday. And, you know, I'm hoping I don't spill my water on all those papers. How much effect does that Word of God have on you? Is it going to return to you void? It doesn't matter how it's going to return, because it's so buried under there. However, if this morning you woke up, or last night, whenever you do your time with God, whenever you get alone with God, you opened up, I just opened up to the middle of about wherever it opened up to, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yea, let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy and deal very treacherously? Righteous art thou." God's righteous. Just that's encouraging to me. God's righteous. I don't have to worry about the input I get from the Word of God, whether it's right or not. It's righteous. What God says is, because He's righteous. He can't give us wrong instruction. He can't give us wrong direction. What He says has to be right. Now, I could go, that would be just pick another verse. Pick any verse. Open another verse. Find out, what does it say? God, what does this mean? I'm a mess, and I know I'm a mess. Anybody else here a mess? I guess I'm on my own on that one. But I know when I come to a point where I realize, you know, things are not like I'd like them to be. All I have to do is come to God. As Asaph said, I open my eyes. I open my eyes. And, wow, look what God's done. Look what He can do. He's the one that created everything. He's the one that made this mess. I just get to live in it. He's the one that has the solution for this. He's the one that has the encouragement. There's a constant or a repetitive phrase. He's the one. Look at yourself or at someone else. What are you going to see as compared with looking at the Lord Jesus? What are you going to see? If you're looking at Him, looking at His Word, depression kind of goes away really fast. If you're trying to solve it by going to someone saying, I need some help. Give me some drugs. I need some help. Tell me something good. Or go to God and say, God, I'm a mess. What can you do about it? Can you fix this? And, you know, I've been saved for, let's see, this is since 1972. So 75. So 44 years. God hasn't failed me once. Now, I've failed, but God has. Every time I've gone to God, every time, and said, God, I don't know what to do here, He's known what to do, and He's fixed it every time. Should I expect Him to do that tomorrow? Or is He going to change His tactics tomorrow? He said, I can't. God says, God can't change. He's going to do the same thing tomorrow that He's been doing all these years. And He'll do the same thing for you. If you've got an issue with being depressed, discouraged, disgusted, any of those D words, go to Him and say, I don't know what to do. And now if you're saying, I'm going to do this, will that fix it? that's not going to God and saying, God, I don't know what to do. It's not going to God and saying, okay, I'm a mess, fix it. No. Go to God and say, there's really nothing you can say, is there? Here I am. Change my heart. Change my thinking. Give me a verse that's going to help me today. Somebody this past week just asked me, can you give me a verse, just one verse that's going to help me through this? Could you come up with a verse right now? And if not, why not? Do we live in a world where there's people that need help? Anybody else in this room need help, maybe, that's going to be in a rough situation in the next week? What if the person sitting next to you, their house burns down? Are they going to need help? Some kind of encouragement? Somebody in their family passes away. Are they going to need help? Are you ready to give that help? You're not if you're where Asaph was in verse 1 to 9. You're going to say, yeah, this life's terrible, isn't it? Or are you going to be where verse 10, 12, 13, and 15? God can take care of this. God is good. God has control of all this. I remember when this happened and God took care of it. I remember hearing a story about a missionary that this happened to and God took care of it. I heard that this verse says this. Just this morning in my study, or last night, I read this verse. This will probably be a help to you. Constantly going back to the Word of God, aren't you? If you go to the Word of God, you'll have answers. And if you don't, you won't. That's pretty simple. Do you want answers or do you not want answers? Asaph wanted answers. He went to God and said, God, I'm a mess. This is where I'm at. He was honest with God. God, look at all the my life is falling apart and I don't want to even get better. Can you fix this? And God fixed it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you do fix things. Thank you that you do encourage us, that you help us in all things, that no matter what, that you're there, that you give us opportunity to have our minds changed. Give us the way to do it and give other people around us the mandate, really, to help us through it. God, protect us this morning. Encourage us. It's a good service in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed.